to live was pushing them. And if at some time in the future somebody meets you in a supermarket and tell you they're from Albania, don't be surprised. If somebody had told you in 1973 you'd be sitting down in Jody Knudsen's house in Tucson listening to Slantai Guy talk to you in 1989, would you believe it? That's what we're talking about, how those live-to-live people will meet. If you're living to live, you'll meet. But if you're living to die, you can't prevent it meeting. That's your option. But as long as you're making the transition inside of your consciousness of living to live, you're becoming more and more conscious of what you are. It has nothing to do with belief. It has to do with understanding.
Did you cover some of the shots that you were talking about?
Your body is the cause factor of the karmic bill incurred by your misapplied decisions from the day one of creation. Through the spoken action of the voice, you set this up to make the body the cause factor. But creative intelligence set it that way because creative intelligence is using elements along with the I am present in the form of a container called skin, and the container therefore will be the cost factor. But
the cost or cost?
The cost factor.
Cost.
So anytime it comes back and registers here to now, throughout the centuries we've made a lot of mistakes, and then wise men began to question. And they did not question in the other types of bodies. They only questioned in the carbon-based bodies because this was the one that made them realize something was more important about it. And that's how come you have, from dawn of time, there always appeared someone fully enlightened with the understanding, and they call it the Krishna consciousness or the Christ consciousness or the God consciousness in creation, the enlightened one. That means the understanding one. And they all pointed out to the one fact that this mechanism was the key. But from simple facts of nature, if you have to pay off your bills with a physical body, after a while you can't handle too many damages. You won't have a body to work with in the end. Because if every time you got to pay your karma off, it means you got to face debt. Break it up in every possible way to pay it off, it ain't going to be very practical. So man is that type of being who, in his understanding, seeks for practicalness. And I said before, spirituality is not holier than thou, and the evidence of spiritual functioning and the test for a spiritual person is how practical you are every moment. So the first test was the practicality of the body being broken up versus the things that you use in reference to your association could be a shunt for the problem that you incurred. So the cause factor must be equal to the nature of it. So if you set up an incorrect action with your mouth, whatever you give out will come back through your mouth, then that particular condition can be shunted off to any object you relate to physically to the cause factor for that on your body. And therefore, the wise men made this comment in their observation: the stars foretell, but they don't compel, and shunts are more practical than the human frame, which is the temple of God, to be constantly destroyed by the misapplied action of the mouth. So Jesus put it this way: man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's not what you put in that defiles you, it's what comes out of you that defiles you. So if you don't understand these laws of physics, you will have to use the body as a cause factor for the misapplied decision. When you begin to understand it, then a substitute can be made. Any object that you relate to, made of elements around you, to the value of the condition that you incurred. So if there's a young man here who was not too long ago in this weekend workshop. He called me on the phone and told me something had happened. He's lying down in his bed, right behind a window wall like that, right just like that. And 2 days before he's ready to come to this workshop, at 12 o'clock at night, this huge big truck that they park up in the place where you're living slipped and moved down. Nobody deliberately pushed it, there's nobody, and it came rolling right down. His car was parked in front of the window outside. The heavy, big objects hit his car, veered off, and then down into the alley. His car is smashed. If that car was not there, his body would have been smashed. Then he calls and tells me, am I ready for a bracelet? I say, you doggone right. But that was your shunt. As an initiate, you got that as a shunt to show you. On their way here, in that same little car, run in the state of Arizona, some other guy spin and hit them. So that's a second shunt. By the time he got here, he said, I'm ready for my bracelet. But this is what it's up for shunting. But the point is, I'm trying to infer, as an initiate, he was approved. But then I told him, I said, you should have understood by now, when you had your Christmas present given to you, did you use it? He said, I began to use it then. And you know how you use it? Do you know how to use a Christmas present? Yeah. I'm driving down the road, you know, and the snow is falling, and only got this little space to see through. And Ginger and Boogie Woogie, that's Ed Worston, they're sitting in the car. And they're worrying about what the heck to do. And me, I'm just driving and I'm singing to myself, we love you, we love you. And right down the middle of the road, I'm on the white line, wheel on this side, wheel this side. 18-wheelers are off to the corner, all the way down. And there overhead, right over me, the cloud is parted and the moon is shining just on my top of my car. I can see, and I'm going on the road because that's the principle of it. They have every right to harass me, but they don't have right to kill me, and I have every right to tell them the place of yours. So the snow is falling on either side, and just where I'm driving is clear till I get out of it. But that's what we're talking about. You're entitled to the investiture. So. What do you think Christ consciousness is?
Well,
that's isn't that what the whole thing is all about? Don't get carried away with the agricultural terms. Learn to realize the science behind it. And Brother Jesus will call you his sister, because why? You understand, you don't believe no more. Once you understand, then you have every right to what? Do the will of the Lord. And what is the will of the Lord? You ever ask yourself, what is the will of the Lord? Repeat. That is the will of the Lord. Very simple. Go forth, multiply, and have dominion over the universe. I put it in today's language. Xerox if you want, but make sure you understand with your mouth.
Realized
can't breathe. The non-realized person doesn't breathe when they go on a cosmic vacation. Mr. Einstein would like to trade his brain and knowledge for your ability to breathe. But Yogananda breathes, even though he left his body as an experimental gadget for people to observe. He ain't regimented with one body. Jesus isn't regimented, and all these men are not regimented. Francis and all these men are not regimented. I mean, to show you that one body is no regimentation, take Yogi Milarepa. You ever heard of him? Good. Yogi Milarepa lived in Tibet. And every 3 months, like a dano, he goes from one temple to another to visit. So he used to visit 12 temples a year. And as time went by, he was constantly present, meditating with them. And the time came for him to go off on cosmic vacation, because he served his purpose with them, and he decided he wanted to do that. He went down to all the temples to meditate with them. Each temple in Tibet to this day will claim that Yogi Milarepa went off a cosmic vacation in their temple and has left them a body for them to experiment with. On the same day of the year and the same time of the year. So they got 12 Milarepas in 12 different locations, and Yogi Milarepa is still laughing at them. So energy is equal to the mass times the velocity of light sphere. There is no limitation to the elements. We don't even begin to realize what we have. Then creative intelligence put it together, because God became his universe. But it's allowing us to go from belief to understanding, because he's not going to go out of business till midnight eternity. That is, he couldn't exercise his will to breathe or die.
So even though he knew he was going to be crucified,
did he say, Father, remove this cup?
Yes.
Yeah, Father, remove this cup. But then he says, not my will, but thy will be done. He had to go through the charades of appearing to be dead. He didn't want to go through, because he knew what deadness meant. But then when he went through the charades of being dead, there was no death, because why? He had already proven to Lazarus that he couldn't stay in a grave, so he now had to go through it to be ultimately what? A test of the reality that creative intelligence is permanently, eternally, going no place, but it got to test itself. What is it going to do?
So that,
that was his test to find out for sure that he's not exercising magic again, or he's not exercising a just the fact that he knows the elements are immortal and that Lazarus has to come out, he has to do it too, to clear his mind from any ego power or being a possessor of power. Christ consciousness is not a possessor of power. Christ consciousness is an understanding of what the structure is. But once you think it's a power to be gained, you're going to fool yourself again into a belief system for magic. I don't have a power. I don't have anything. I of myself can't do a doggone thing. But the Father which is in me, which is what? The breath allows me to live out what creative consciousness wants to live out in the form. The ongoingness of the atoms. And the ongoingness of the atoms as elements is to harass, but not to kill. And I can't tell them not to exist. Therefore, it's a foregone conclusion. We are already immortal. Build me a temple that I may dwell in the midst thereof. Clean up your act, that the I Am presence will function inside of you as understanding. Free men all out of yourself. What else is there to believe? There's not a belief. Understanding is not belief. Understanding is a what? A foregone conclusion of what the thing actually has to do. Do you believe in driving a car, or you understand how to drive a car? Yes. But while your mom and dad are driving the car, you're sitting in the side of the passenger, what were you doing? Yeah, good. So you have your Christmas presents. Enjoy it. We are the Hare family. Mr. and Mrs. Hare. Mr. Hare is called Pater, and Mrs. Hare is called Mater. And we, the children, are called Be Hare, Bear. Be Hare now. Where are you going to go? From now till midnight eternity, you're going to be here. And the universe is now. We live in a universe or a house called now. And we are the children of the Hare family. Mr. Hare can be considered creative intelligence, skin. And Mrs. Hare can be considered the element. And the two together make offspring, Xerox cup. So what are we? A manifestation of the principle. But you can't turn the tide over to run the show. You gotta wait till you grow up. Then he runs the show. That's why he's called the heir. Now you know why you're full of hot air. When you grow up, you understand. There is no more belief going on in your head. After you understand, you'll see. Do you have fear anymore? Where is the fear in you now? You've been given back your understanding of the Christ structure in you. What fear do you have now? If you have fear, then you don't understand. You're still believing and looking for magic. But if you understand, there's no fear, because elements can only harass. They can't kill. They don't have that right. That's a harassment.
Well, I'm asking because I felt like I just
Keep dumping. The more you understand elements, how they operate, the more the trauma will leave you. Because the trauma is only what? Attraction, repulsion in reference to sanity. It doesn't have any permanency. So what was heard by mom or said by dad or said by mom and heard by dad is the traumatic resonance in the mechanism while you were inside of them as a form. Trauma, if you look at the word, I love English, you know. It's the only language that will free you once and for all from every mumbo jumbo in your brain. Trauma, the true matrix of your existence is in the sonics of your mouth. And the problem is always in your mouth, and the evidence is in your mouth, and the freedom is in your mouth. Now spell trauma backwards and what you got. Your trauma is a backward love. That's all it was. Yeah. Isn't that more of a backward love? Yeah. Now that you free yourself from all your traumas, make your love move forward. That's why I like English. And you reach the stop sign, and you want to go left, you read it from right to left, you go fuck.
You fart, move on.
You want to go right, you go stop. See, that's why the DOG is man's best friend. Spell it backwards, still a man's best friend. English is the only language that modern man has available to him to free him once and for all from the belief and establish the understanding which is the Christ in him. That's why it's easier for modern man speaking English to regain his Christ conscious level, the investiture, by understanding.
Is that why you see somebody people coming from the East to bring their beliefs over here?
Yes.
Because they all know that.
Right brain, left brain is your solution. You have it. That's why they call us the rainbow people. And we live in the rainbow land. So the year 2000 is another 12 more years, and we'll all be flying off like dragons. No more dragging.
but this year we'll be slithering like snakes.
Good, right. Okay.
We'll be tough,
but that's where we're heading, and yours to use. It cannot be revoked once you understand it. And it's permanent in the form you're in, the carbon-based form is the ideal. The other forms, we've had them, but they're not ideal. We've had many carbon forms where we have to reincarnate over and over because we weren't ready for it. Now that we are approaching the Aquarian cycle, the representation of man, And that's what we were created to be, a manifestation. It is in that cycle that we will express the highest of the principles of understanding the Christ nature. The things I do, you do also, and greater things shall you do as the moment presents itself, for whatever is required for you to do. And that's the reason why he came in the Piscean age to prepare us for the Aquarian cycle. And the cosmos is a big place. And Big Daddy and Mama ain't gonna go off to business for nobody. So you might as well enjoy it. But you didn't. Did you do any?
Did I? Or did you?
Yeah.
Well, evidently he wasn't doing it.
So if he wasn't doing it, what?
Okay, well, I just wondered how afterflow comes in as opposed to like rainfall or something.
Equal flow. It's equal flow. So what is equal flow? Everything functions in an equal manner. But if the person doesn't do it, what you can say? He was in Europe and he came back. And then he called me. He wasn't coming to the meeting this last weekend. And this thing happened 2 days before he decided to come. Then when he consulted the insurance people, they automatically paid the bill without any argument. Then he got in the car and decided to come to take the workshop. Then when the other car bumped him up on the way here, two times in a short space of time, he really wanted the bracelet then. He knew he had enough protection as an initiate, and he was singing the song. What? Yeah, but you see, he had other initiates inside of the car who had their investiture given to them last Christmas. So what were they doing? Same thing. So the car was highly a bumper sticker insulator for all of them. And he was driving, he had decided to stop the car half hour before the incident and give it over to Melissa to drive. But then he said, no, I'll keep on for another few minutes to get the gas station. So Melissa said, all right. So all the rest were in the back. I just saw the car straight in front of them. So what's he going to do? He started singing the song and all the rest driving. But he didn't pay no attention. But then, by that time, he realized what was going to happen. They started singing. See? But the car had hit him. And instead of stopping the car, took off and left it. So you see, this is how we becoming aware that Christ consciousness is available to the initiate, and he doesn't have to panic or be afraid anymore. That's why Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith," because they were believing, they weren't understanding. But when they began to understand, then they were free. Now, what is money made of? Paper and ink? What is a car made of? Metal? What is a house made of? Brick and wood? But what is your health made of? Breath. And that is all there is. It's called hiyalte. Breath is all there is. No breathe, over. Then the choice is breathe to live or breathe to die. So cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is godliness if you understand. And that's what is more important in the whole thought, understanding what is. So you can live the unconditional love that Yukteswar told Yogananda when they met. He says he wanted to know God. Yukteswar says, "Well, do you give me unconditional love?" Took Yogananda a while before he could answer what unconditional love meant to him. As far as Yogananda was concerned, he was still locked into belief. As far as Yukteswar is concerned, he locked into understanding. But then he's feeling his way around. He says, "Yes, Master, I will." But he wasn't certain, because he's still bordering his answer on belief. He's trying to weigh his answer. Then when he was given the experience, and then when he asked him, he said, "When will I find God?" Then Yukteswar knew he still didn't understand. He's telling him, "You got it, but you don't understand." And then he understood it. Then he wrote down and said, "When the student is ready to slow the brain down and look at the facts, and they're not overwhelmed by this flood of these ideas, then the reality is there. You are the atom. You ain't going no place. The foregone conclusion, if you're understanding that, you've got to come to grips with it." Well, as I say, it is for the initiate, not for the public. They have to come to it on their own. I say, you can't go force nobody. So when a person asks for initiation, my answer is, if you approve, it's done while I'm in the area. And the approval is very simple. The rain falls or the rainbow show up. That is to make you conscious that it's not a belief system. And the approval is not so much for initiation. That is only to get you interested to realize it is to reclaim your Christ conscious nature in yourself.
You made a point the other day that all of us in this room at that particular time was either the rainbow or the rain, but not the Christ consciousness. Both are significant of the fact that we weren't brought under the skin something we had to discover?
Yes.
Is that the reason why we didn't know it? Well, we were aware of it, but that's the difference.
That's the difference.
Okay.
The other night at your meeting at the bank, I found it very interesting talking about the use of alcohol, you know, like in the morning, brandy, and, you know, red wine and whatnot. I have no problem with that, but what about people who get locked into the Alcoholics Anonymous thinking? It's almost a programming.
Remember, they have their ways to solve their problems, but they are looking at alcohol in terms of a little wine for their brain's sake. Then Paul said to his students, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. They're two different parts of your anatomy. Now, for your stomach's sake, he's telling Timothy, why suffer from immediate dysentery while traveling across the Orient? He didn't tell him to take it for his brain's sake because Timothy wasn't suffering from stress and fixations. Timothy was suffering from what? Immediate dysentery. So, but he had a fixation that if he didn't take wine, he was a holier than what? Nice boy, and he's a vegetarian, and a teetotal, and all those things. Paul is telling him, you're stupid because you're dying from what? Immediate dysentery. I have a student years ago, he's on cosmic vacation today, and he came to me. He had immediate dysentery. He was in the Peace Corps in the time of Kennedy, and he went over the very wonderful young man, wouldn't touch alcohol, anything, was very Catholic oriented. And while he was in Turkey, he connected with the immediate dysentery and started. And he went even to all the doctors over there, all in the military people, and they couldn't do a single thing until they sent him back home to the States to die. And that's when I met him years after. He came to one of our classes, and we gave him treatment and worked with him, and then started the process of being in the body, but he was too far gone. Well, he was already given up to die when I first met him, so he only had about 2 weeks to live. He hung around for 2.5 years, but in the 2.5 years, then he tore into the AMA group and all the different medical professors that were harassing us for teaching all kinds of alternative therapies and acupuncture and different things. And so, one of the meetings, we were there, all of the group, and all these doctors were sitting, and then they came up and said, who are you guys? And before I could get up and recommend who I was and what my group was, he jumped up and said, hey, I know 3 of you guys. You know me? And then, yes, these are my friends. And you gave me up to die. Right as he tore into them, and that was the end of the harassment, because when he finished with them, they all look at us and say, gentlemen, let us not carry the axe any further. We are willing to work with each other on the grounds of saving society. And that was the break off. And then they never bug us no more after that, because then alternative medicine or unorthodox ideas began to be more of what you say. Their research, they wanted to find out ways of how they could cooperate. But he was a young man that really tore into them because of the big dysentery that he had. And they knew him, what these doctors knew, because 3 of them were on the board of the Peace Corps, were supposed to treat them and things. And they recognized him. And they were wondering what he was doing in these things. But in the last part of his life, he had already made tremendous transformations in himself of understanding different things. But the area had been eaten away too much. It had to go into tremendous surgery and would not survive. So he accepted that
the body was gone, but the understanding was there, and he could look forward to a better opportunity in another body. So he programmed himself not to lose his memory bank. So he died consciously, like most yogis would go into Mahasamadhi and keep their consciousness so that they can't come back and be in a body form with their memory working for them. So that's what he did, and he was very, very evolved for them. He could see where he was going to go to. So he was happy to go to that body and carry with him his full comprehension.
Is he back?
Yeah, he's back.
Is he
back? Well, he's not in this country, but he'll be coming to this country someday. He's in England. He wanted to be born as British. And be educated in Eton.
So he's a little boy right now.
Yeah, he's a little boy of 5 years old. But he lives in England. But his main concern was to be a graduate of Eton. What is different? And he's a very wonderful family. Not a squire. What do you call the next level up from a squire? Earl?
No.
Earl.
Oh,
that's
probably
the character being played by Dr. Manning. Oh, no. He's not just Dr. Manning. But he lives in the part of Gloucester, England. But he knew where he was going already.
I thought I wanted to be in England once, but first I got practice.
And I have a few of my friends who've gone to live in Australia. And there's one person is pregnant. She wanted her child to be born in Australia. She got pregnant over here. And she left with her husband for Australia. And they're very evolved in their understanding. And they're doing a lot of subliminal programming of solar nutrition energy, working their consciousness too. Effect. When the child is born in Australia, it will pick up its last incarnation where it came from. So there's a lot of few of their brothers and sisters who are initiates who have picked up on their lives, and they're working with it. Animals? Answers are 99% of the time no. 1% of the time yes. But that is very rare that the animal moves up to the human form. The animal consciousness is a group consciousness already set up for them to go from different levels. The only animal that makes a transition to the human form is the monkey. That's why they call it monkey man. The Hanuman was the bridge. That was the real bridge or carry over from the, that's why it's referred to that as the monkey man. It's the only closest point to come in evolution in a carbon-based body. They go from animal to human. It depends on what you're using it for. The answer ought to say yes, no, maybe. Remember, everything has its purpose. Is what you're going to use it for. The idea of subliminal programming is not a new idea, so don't get it as considered something new. You can read of it in the ancient Bible, and you read in the Vedas. good example is Vyas, the father of Sakuntala, who wrote the Bhagavad Gita. That's the actual man who wrote the Bhagavad Gita. And he was describing the war in the Bhagavad Gita by repeating it to his pregnant wife. He's seen the war through his meditation that was happening miles away from the area where he was. And while the war was going on, he's writing the war, and he's dictating it to his pregnant wife. And the child is born, and at the age of 4, the child's name is Sakuntala. He walks right up to the father and repeats the Bhagavad Gita back to him word for word. Then at age 13, after many years of training the boy, with subliminal documents to introduce him, and when he went to the place, he kept looking around him, and what did he see? He saw Janaka smoking a chilam pipe. You know what a chilam pipe? A water pipe, right. Where it's already filtered out through the water to be just the moisture to go to the throat, through the dryness of the weather, the throat, while he was smoking it. And around with him was dancing these wonderful, beautiful women there. And so he went back and told his dad, that guy is a profligate, all kind of labels of a lousy jerk, and you want me to follow him as a guru? And the father says, that is a guru, you go back. So he went back the second time, and he's peeping around. He didn't go up to this. By that time, he's peeping around. The king looked around like that in the sky, and then he said, still, did like that. And he called one of his guys. He said, go bring that kid from behind the bush. And the guards grabbed him and pulled him out, so he was surprised. And while he's busy, brought to the king, before he could even introduce himself who he was, the king looked at him and said, ah, so you're Sakuntala, the son of my brother Vyas. Now that blew him away right away. They haven't been introduced and he's exposed. And while they were talking, he did like that. He said, now you folks just leave me alone, I want to talk to God, he's my friend here. The kid didn't even get a chance to explain who he was. He'd already been told him. And all of a sudden, one of the guards come running. Your Majesty, please save yourself. The castle is on fire. The whole palace is on fire. The king looked up. He said, don't bother me. You go save yourself. I'm talking God with my friend here, Sakuntala. And the guard went away. By that time, a little later, the guards run in, and the fire is all around them, and the king is busy going into God and all that. And by that time, the fire is getting close to Sakuntala. And so he has a little bundle of books that he has saved, and he took off his little turban, and he's backing at the fire. Took out the fire so he doesn't get close. And the king opened his eyes and he looked, well, well, look who is more materialistic. You are trying to save a few lousy books. Yeah, that you were about my castle. And so the boy was already heartbroken, crestfallen, America. And the king said, be gone, fire. Fire stopped. New castle, brand new castle all over again. And it's a true story. Oh my God. What do you do? He says, well, what did you come for? He says, I wanted to be a student of yours. He says, well, I don't accept students unless they pass the test. And so he says, what do I have to do? He says, I'll tell you what. Only because you're my brother's son, I want you to go through my whole castle and see all the beautiful things and come back and tell me what you see. And here is two little gourds full of oil, like a lamp. Walk and see, guide yourself, Well, don't drop one drop of oil that spoiled my carpet. So the boy is walking, looking through the castle, and after 10 hours, the king went looking for him. And there he was coming, and he says, well, have you seen inside my castle? He says, king, I didn't have any time to focus on anything. I was too busy trying to prevent the oil from falling on your carpet. The king says, well, you feel, you can't, you don't have that kind of concentration, you feel. So the boy is crestfallen, broken up again. And after 4 hours of silence, the king looked at him and said, only because you're my brother's son, I give you one more chance. So he sends him back again, and the boy goes, and he doesn't see the boy for almost 24 hours. So he went looking for the boy again. And what did he do? You see the boy sitting, facing the wall in the garden, and there's a gate behind him. And there's a wall, blank wall, and the boy's like that, looking blank wall. And the boy can hear the gate open, and the king is coming. And this is what the boy says. Hail, O king, name any room you want, and I'll tell you what's inside of it. He says, never mind, you pass the test. If you can sit down there and gaze at the wall and know what's in any room, you don't pass the test already. Okay. So the boy was with him for a while. Then he said to the boy, he said, you know something? I have to give you one more test, and then you can be my disciple. So what is the test? He says, I want you to go and visit my brother, Yama, the Lord of Death, and bring back my pen that I forgot there that belongs to the Lord of Life. Would you do it? And so the boy says, yes. He says, well, you know how to get down to the Lord of Death. You got to put yourself in death. And then when you see the Lord of Death, ask him for my pen that I forgot here. And then come back. So the boy puts himself in the death pose, and there he is in the castle of the Lord of Death. And the Lord of Death is sitting down. And he says, what do you want? He says, I am Sakuntala. I am the disciple of Janaka, Lord of Life, who has sent me. He's your brother. And he has sent me here to see you. And I've come for the pen he forgot. And Yama says, you can go back, because this is my castle, this is Death's castle. And there's no way for you to go back. And even though your teacher, my brother, has forgot his pen here, there's no way for you to go back. So the boy is looking and says, if I ask a question, and if you give me the right answer, can I go back? If I give you the wrong answer, I'll take it. So Yama says, all right, that's fair. What's your question? And the boy looks at the pen and he says, if the pen writes, would a dead man use it? Now, if Yama gives the right answer, Sakuntala can pick up the pen and go home. If Yama gives the wrong answer, Sakuntala is confined to stay with the Lord of Death. And that was the question that Sakuntala put to the Lord of Death regarding the pen that belonged to the Lord of Life. And today we ask the question. Every person who goes down to visit the Lord of Death, even Brother Jesus, comes back capable of the pen. The question is, if the pen writes, would a dead man use it? The pen belongs to the Lord of Life. It's forgotten in the house of the Lord of Death. And the student is asking the Lord of Death question. And it's the Lord of death who must give the right answer or the wrong answer. So if the Lord of death gives the right answer, the student should pick up the pen and go home. If the Lord of death gives the wrong answer, then the student will have to remain. What do you think? If the pen writes, will the dead man read it?
I would say. And right? You'll have white hands. Living thing in that it works. It's elements work.
But if you lost the other life and a dead person, it's not with life.
I'm listening. If the pen writes, will the dead man read it? And if the Lord of death gives the right answer, Sakuntala should pick up the pen and go home. If he gives the wrong answer, Sakuntala will have to remain there. Who's asking the question and who's giving the answer? Mm-hmm. And the Lord of death has to give the answer. Who said that? Now why he said, I don't know. Started, but why did he say, I don't know? Who is not alive? The Lord of death is the Lord of death. All he can give you is death. That's why he's the Lord of death. And his brother is the Lord of life. All he can give you is what? So the student is located where? In the house of who? And then he's asking to take the pen back. But in order to get back home, he's got to make the Lord of death answer the question. The Lord of death didn't refuse to answer the question, and the question was, if the pen writes, will the dead man use it? Now, he just said, I don't know why. If he gives the right answer, the boy goes home with the pen. If he gives the wrong answer, the boy stays with him. Now the question is, if the pen writes, would a dead man use it? The Lord of death must answer the question, not the boy. The boy is who giving the Lord of death the question. And in the question, he agrees that if he gets the right answer, he can go home. And if he gets the wrong answer, he will stay with the Lord of Death. And the Lord of Death agreed to the gamble. No. No, he hurts many different.
The boy knows when it's the right answer, or somebody. Who was to say when it's the right answer?
That's what we got to find out, Lord. He put himself down in that state because he was told by the teacher to go visit the Lord. He'd have to put himself in a death state to go visit his brother, the Lord of Life's brother. It's called Lord of Death. But while he's down there, he's told to bring back the Lord of Life pen that he forgot there in the brother's house. So every person who goes down there is given this particular test. And they got to find a way to come back home. So they are the ones who are going to ask the Lord of Death the question. And the question is, if the pen writes, will a dead man use it? Now the Lord of Life gives the right answer, the boy can pick the pen and go home. If he gives the wrong answer, the boy has to stay there with him. Could it be, who would say yes? The dead man, the Lord of Life, or the Lord of Death, or the boy? Who is saying yes? It's not his pen? How is he going to say yes? The pen was forgotten by his brother. The boy is asking for the pen. And the question was, if the pen writes, would the dead man use it? It's up to the Lord of Life who sent the boy to wait, and it's up to the Lord of Death to give the answer. If the boy gives the right answer, or the Lord of Death gives the right answer, the boy can pick up the pen and go home. If the Lord of Death gives the wrong answer, the boy will stay with him. So the question is, if the pen writes, would the dead man use it? Now the Lord of Death has to give the answer. The wrong answer, the boy stays. The right answer, the boy goes home.
There's only one answer.
Right. The right or the wrong answer.
The Lord of Death can only give one answer.
That's right.
And it has to be right.
That's right.
It can't be wrong.
That's right. You say no, who say yes? You said what?
I don't know.
He said, I don't know. Then I asked for why. You said no, why? Keep talking. You see, when you're on the, and then you're about to step on the booby trap, you're halfway to victory before you blow your feet away. She has the right answer, but she doesn't know why. And he has the right answer, he doesn't know why. Yeah, it's one answer. The boy knows the answer from the answer that the Lord of death is going to give. Why? I'm asking you why. This answer is just as right. But why?
The Lord of death really doesn't know. And he thinks that the answer is either yes or no. And he figures the only way he can get the right is to trust the boy is to say he doesn't know. Because he thinks that there's a yes or a no. And so, okay.
You're getting pretty close to pressing down on the booby trap. It's a booby trap. The answer is, I don't know. That's the right answer, but you must know why the Lord of Death is saying, I don't know. Because if he does know, and he says yes, he wrote with the pen to see if it wrote. And if he had written with the pen to see if it writes, he would automatically become the Lord of what? And if he didn't write with the pen, he would say no. And then he would still remain the what? And by saying I don't know, that meant he did what? He never touched the pen. Therefore, the boy can pick up the pen, and the moment he picks up the pen to write with it, he automatically will retain his life to go back over it. Because he is located where? In the house of the Lord of Death. And he can't get out until what? He has the answer to take life back, and he has to have the pen to hold on to write. So the answer would have to come first from the Lord of Death, I don't know. But you must know why the Lord of Death doesn't know if the pen don't write. You can't just say, I don't know, without knowing why. The Lord of Death is still a Lord of Death, and he knows why he doesn't know. And that's the right answer the boy has to have. If he says, no, that's the wrong answer, the boy will stay. Because he'd already checked it. If he said yes, he'd already checked it. But then, if he already checked it, he wouldn't be there as Lord of Death. He'd be somebody else. Because it's the pen of the who? Lord of Life. And anything you touch belonging to the Lord of Life would automatically make you what?
Life
again. So if the Lord of Death gives you death, he doesn't give you anything more than you come to his house. He gives you death, but you got to go through death. Jesus went through death, and then he came back home to his father, sat down on the right side of him. Well, how long did he stay down in their brother's house? Yes. Yes? No? Maybe. Or I don't know. Yes? No? I don't know. Which one did he say? Yes, no, or I don't know. I don't know, right, is the right answer, but the Lord of Death must have the correct information to say, I don't know. And the correct information would be, he hasn't touched the pen to see if it's right. And by not knowing, he's still Lord of Death. Therefore, he didn't touch, he can't be the Lord of Life, and he can't know. And that's the essence of it. But if he touched the pen to find out if it does write or it don't write, something's going to happen to him. And this is how the boy tricked the Lord of Death, by putting the question, by asking him, if the pen writes, or the dead man uses, would he agree that the right answer would send him home, or the wrong answer let him stay there? The Lord of Death didn't refuse to gamble. The Lord of Death agreed, fine, okay, that's a good gamble. Let's see if you got the right answer now. And the right answer is what? I don't know, but based on the fact that he didn't test the pen, the pen will be there, and the Lord of Death will be Lord of Death. Therefore, I don't know will be a valid answer. And yes or no would not be valid.
What means
he's already giving you debt for not telling the truth or telling the truth. So what more can he give you? People who tell the truth, don't they die? And people who don't tell the truth, don't they die? So what is the Lord of Death supposed to offer you? Death. And life offers you life if you tell the truth. And life offers you life if you tell a lie. So is there any commandment, thou shalt not lie? Life gives you life if you lie. Life gives you life if you tell the truth. And death gives you death if you lie. And death gives you death if you tell the truth. Your right nose and your left nose will allow you to breathe up and down. And you can lie to yourself or tell the truth with your mouth. It's called the Swami from Miami. You see? That's why there's no commandment, thou shalt not lie. But thou shalt not kill. That's that kind of commandment. That's why the elements don't have a right to kill. But I don't have a right not to lie or harass you till you get angry with them and call them all kind of names, but they'll harass you. No, there's a battle that actually existed, and they put it as a model to represent how we are here to face ourselves, because that is the very same battle that Gopal, who is a Christ-realized person, was teaching Arjuna how to comprehend the difference between belief and understanding. But then they put it in terms of a psychological connotation to make it long-winded and complicated. That's what they would want us to accept in terms of the understanding, but it's not too bad at the place. And it's the struggle between understanding and belief. So if you say the senses, that's belief, that's the magic again. And the Krishna consciousness is the understanding that directs the five senses are the horses, and the chariot there, the ego, concept in the form of Arjuna. That's how they would want it. But basically, it is the investiture principle has been handed down to man that he is Christ-realized from the day one, and he has to phase out his association with the senses and the belief systems and the ego and accept understanding as the actual reality of his existence. But they put it in such a story, but it was an actual battle that did occur. When Jesus came, he came to live it in the form of a crucifixion and go through the charades of appearing to drown and have a student in a coffin. And then they harassed him to say, he's dead, why are you worrying? He says, where's the body? He goes through all that charade, and then he says, Lazarus, come forth. There's his father. I didn't have to say it in a loud voice, only because of these jerks are here. You see what I mean? There, all these men, when they came to the realization of what it was, they realized that the public or the people there did not have understanding. They were all still locked on to belief and the magic of the miracle, which in the end lets them down. And if God doesn't perform a miracle for you because you call upon him and you believe in his name, what do you say to him? He lets you down, so you don't believe in him anymore. But if you understand, is there any letdown? That's where we come to the reality that the person who understands is Christ realized as the principle to which their authority is restored back to them. So the president is inaugurated to be the president. That's the power restored for them. So that's the basic same thing that Christ is used. You have the power to say to the element, play somewhere else. But you can't tell them not to exist. They have the power to harass you, push you in any direction to make you go through all kind of mental anguish. But they don't have the right to kill you. So they'll pull every lie in the book to harass you, to make you feel vulnerable to the point where you want to be suicidal. But if you are suicidal, it's only in terms of living to die attitude versus living to live. And if you do live to die, with your fixations about dying, the elements have to provide. They have to provide an outlet in the form of the ground, go back in the soil, and then they have to provide you a reincarnation to let you relive what you think you feel to live. Well, when you're free from that, and you realize the immortality of it, the reality of the truth, then there is no more reincarnation. It's over, and it's the consciousness of the immortality of yourself. Wherever you recognize it, and whenever you recognize it, and however you recognize it, from the level of understanding, at that moment, within a carbon-based body, is the ultimate realization. The other bodies are not. Therefore, you'll find a guy like Rampa would like to trade a few ounces of oxygen just for a few minutes to use your body to see if he can talk through you. But you won't take a chance to go up the uterine canal and come through and kick you the winner. But you want to use your oxygen in your body, and I don't blame him because of your telephone booth. But that's his game, and so he... But I've encountered Rampa. He don't hang around when I come. None of these fellas hang around because, you know why? They're afraid to take the journey up the Euphrates Canal. So when you look at yourself here, even though you may not like yourself for the shape you're in, I think it's pretty lousy. You're better off than a lot of them. Because you've already done the journey of your viciousness to the level of understanding. And at the level of understanding, you got gives you the right over the environment and the elements. Now, that doesn't say, with that understanding, you can duplicate Abraham and Sarah. Oh, I see. Now you know why understanding is so important. Don't sell yourself short. There is always room for more. Hydrochloric acid doesn't help it much. Unless you pulverize it and put it in your soup. But this, in the liquid form, any mineral in liquid form is that absorbed free of saliva right away.
What about the vitamins?
The public is not going to want to buy liquid too much because they feel this is too much a cumbersome thing to carry with them. So they look for that to put in their purse or their pocket. So over the years, I have seen I pump out too many colons.
And this is got minerals
in it? Minerals in a solid form.
Oh, is
that what it is? It's not a powder. You have to crush it up first to put it into liquid to make it liquid.
Oh, I didn't know whether it was vitamins or what.
It's vitamins, yes. Well, it's in a tablet form.
So even vitamins, even in, like, how about the little...
Only the ones that are liquid will absorb immediately in your saliva.
Oh.
The moment
you want to...
That's better. If it's a liquid.
Oh, a liquid.
No, when the others are going to be solid.
But the things inside the gelatin
is going to be solid. So, if it's solid, it doesn't break down as easy. It stays inside your colon.
How about the oil? Or
if it's a liquid, it will dissolve in your saliva. If it's not a liquid, it will stay in there, and I can pump it out 15 years after from now. Because I had to go through that to know that it doesn't. Your own body will fool you. In the end, you can take it and look it on a microscope. And you can even put in the stuff and then date them.
Is that why you, when you're eating meat or something, you want to really mix that up with food
or something? All minerals are powder, number one. They sell it in two forms to satisfy the public's fear. And the fear is they don't want to drink it because of the flavor in their mouth. They want to pop it in and swallow it. And if your saliva doesn't come in contact with the mineral, it's not going to break it down. The hydrochloric acid is going to lock it down and it'll stay in there. You can pump it out 10, 20 years from now. I have in my clinic hydrochloric acid. I can throw any solid mineral into it. It will never break it down. It just sits there for years. not just fingertips. If you pour this in it, and it'll be multiplied. A liquid, the minerals will multiply, the hydrochloric acid. The hydrochloric acid is a liquid. Your saliva is a liquid, it has enzymes. So if you put anything that is a solid mass, it doesn't break down. It stays inside there for the last. So if you pulverize it into powder and you sprinkle it on top of your food, then when you eat it that way, it will emulsify. But to take it as a tablet and swallow it, 9 times out of 10, it will stay inside of you. I don't know if it's doing much the other way, because when you have to deal with colon irrigation, you find out pretty fast, and you see the stuff fast enough. Now, how hard is a piece of corn? Good. Do you ever think you can digest corn? Everybody got such fancy illusions. Every human being in this room eating corn, I can pump out your colon and show it to you that you got the corn in there still. Try chewing the corn next time and see what will remain in your mouth. The hull of the corn will be in your mouth, and everything that is inside the corn will be dissolved down on your throat. But that little hull that the corn is made of will still be in your mouth. It will never break down. And popcorn is even worse. You ever eat popcorn? And you chew everything?
Well, since you said something about it, you know, and I'd be very careful, and but it's kind of hard not to get anything. So how do you go to the miniature corn here? You know, the little kind of miniature.
Original corn, that's where the corn was originally.
Well, I call the baby corn, that's what it says in the can. And there really aren't, you know, they are not the big. When you look at it, it's a little miniature thing. Does that break down well? Or
the corn you're talking is this big, right? And it's red.
No.
What color is it?
It's a real pale yellow. Mm-hmm. Looks like a little tiny yellow corn.
Near corn,
you got that big.
Yeah.
Not just round, but
stuffy. Long, yeah.
Long.
Mm-hmm. The Chinese people sell a lot of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's going to break down in the tummy yet.
Oh, it doesn't either.
Friends, don't kid yourself. All corn made is 99% silica. Fiber that doesn't break down by saliva nor by hydrochloric acid, but the core of the product will break down. So what is squeezed out by your teeth is the core of that product, and the rest you will swallow because you paid for it. And then when it goes down, it has to go down into your cecal valve and come up. Your ascending colon will go across your transverse colon to your descending colon, but it has to pass through 32 feet of intestine before it gets there. So there ain't no way you're going to break it down with your hydrochloric acid to get it out of your system. It's going to be there to bloat you up, like it or not. Tell me more, man.
Hmm?
You know something? I got lots of Indian brothers and sisters who come to my colonic machine. You've been to my clinic with my colonic machine. I got the Model T and the most sophisticated unit. She can tell. We can tell, right? I got the Model T and the sophisticated built. You'll see that it's passing out right in front of your eyes. What comes out of your colon. You see, years ago, when I went through my first colon irrigation with a surgeon who worked on me, and after 15 minutes, when I boasted to myself, fasting 3 days in a row, having 3 ball movements, drinking water, and the fourth day none happened, and the fifth day, I'm the cockiest oriental going to go and show up, only to see that stuff coming out, I shut up once it's wrong. Because I was the guy who had the okay from that same doctor 6 weeks before to eat the corn. And then to tell me, after all those ball movements, and I didn't pass out the corn, it was passed out by a machine, I shut up then. Because I realized I was fooling myself. I didn't know a darn one thing about health. And to believe what I was thinking about was going to be me. And then I saw the facts, and after look at the facts, I realized most of us don't even know what we're doing to our life. But then I began to be conscious of what corn was, and then I studied corn and see why it can't break down the right one. The silicon base, the core outside of it, doesn't break down with your saliva no matter what you try. Now, here's another thing. Many people hear of wheatgrass. You ever try and chew a piece of wheatgrass, you see how you, what, if it'll ever break down your mouth? Yeah, because you squeeze the liquid out when you drink it, but the actual wheatgrass never breaks down. It's like a piece of wire. I put it in my mouth many times just to prove I can squeeze out all the juice